This is the Learn Beyond Labs podcast, the world's best podcast for those looking for cutting-edge strategies to make real passive income online. This is your host, Dan DeSilva.
What is up, Learn Beyond Lab members? And it is, that's right, you heard it right. It's no longer Ecom Dudes Academy. We're going Learn Beyond Labs now. And I told you in the last few podcasts that this was happening. And so basically today, to kick things off for the first time ever, I have a very special guest with me over here, and he's done over $10 million dropshipping. And the craziest part is that he operates his businesses, and I've been able to see this because I've been here, and again, the mic sounds a little different because, you know, we got to make do with what we have here. But I've been here in Boca Raton, Florida, hanging out with him, and I see him on a day-to-day basis, and I see exactly what he's doing every single day. And I can attest to the fact that he works sometimes an hour, maybe two, maybe 3 hours at most a day. But I'd say on average around an hour or so every single day. And he's been able to, I mean, even last month he put up over $100,000 in net profit. I mean, the amount of money he makes. And again, I don't really want to hype him up too much, but he's doing incredible numbers. So Mr. Jared Goetz, thank you for being on this podcast. So basically I want to start off with your story and let you tell your story.
Cool. What's going on, guys? Yeah, I'm happy to be here, Dan. We got a chance to hang out the last few days and we've been having a really good time. My background, you know, I grew up with a single mother in a one bedroom apartment and I always wanted something different. That's how I can describe myself when I was younger. I always wanted to kind of live a different life. You know, I didn't want to take the same path that, you know, the normal path that society, you know, makes us believe is true. So I've been, you know, I'm turning 30 years old this year. I've been an entrepreneur for over 10 years now. I've tried a lot of different things. You know, I've made, when I was 21, I did really well. I had a company called Electric Flurry, where I threw the world's largest foam party, and that grew, and I did really well, but it kind of showed me that it was possible to actually earn money, because growing up without much, or not growing up super wealthy, like, you don't really believe it's possible for you until you actually achieve something. So that was my first achievement. And I had ups and downs there, but I went from there. I got into the startup world. I got involved with Yik Yak, which was a really popular social media app. And I ran the on-ground marketing for that company. I was one of the first employees, and I helped grow the company from 100,000 users to 10 million users doing some viral growth hacking, where we'd go, we took a tour bus down the West Coast, and we had a mascot and a giant bus and a bunch of promoters on the bus, and we did some really fun stuff. And that company went on to raise $65 million, and I actually exited it when it was at its peak, and I sold my shares, and it gave me a little bit of freedom to go create my own business. So at that time, I discovered hoverboards. I was one of the first people to bring those to the U.S. That was my big entry into the e-com world, and I realized that selling online, there's really no limitations on how much you can scale, and I did well there. I went out to China. I started finding other products to bring in. And I did it backwards. Most people start drop shipping and then they go into brands. Mm-hmm. But I started by building brands, bringing the products to the U.S. I had my own warehouse. We had, you know, influencers. We were selling to major retail, Walmarts, you know, big retailers all over the world. We were at trade shows, all that stuff. And then I discovered drop shipping about 4 years ago. And with the skills that I learned from building the brands, with the ability to not have any inventory constraints, to me, it was like almost too good to be true that you can sell products without ever seeing or touching them. Because I went from having a warehouse and I had to send, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to China at a time and then wait for the product to get in. And then I'd have to, sort all the packages and we'd have to ship everything out. And it was a whole problem. You know, we couldn't scale as big as we wanted to because of money. With dropshipping, it seemed too good to be true, but I scaled my first product based on some knowledge I had from what sells on one of the products I was selling, and it scaled from $0 to $2 million in 60 days, which was the fastest growth I've ever experienced.
Yeah, and that was something, you know, we talked about before, was what I wanted to call this podcast, and Jared's very humble about this, but I kind of want to throw it out there. Do you care if I throw it out there?
No, go for it.
So Jared did build the second fastest growing Shopify store behind Kylie Jenner in that time period. So So yeah, he's very humble about it, I guess you could say, and he didn't want that to be, you know, the title, but I was like, I think it's really important that people really understand the accolades here. Now, you say that you sold some products successfully, and I want you to talk about previous, because I know you sell products right now, and I don't want you to reveal, again, you can if you want to, but I don't necessarily think you will, but probably in the past, what would you say are some of your winners, and why were they winners?
Yeah, I mean, so oftentimes, like, there's no, like, secret to selling winning products. You have to test. We like to test, like, 20 products a week at our peak, and just, we have a whole system for it, too. And once you start generating cash, too, it's like, you just take a little bit of your profits and throw it into testing, and you have people testing the products for you, and we're just looking at data. But one of my biggest winning products were those inflatable loungers, and I think it was a huge hit because, you know, it was a great gift to buy for people. It was unique. It wasn't very expensive. It was like $35. And the video really portrayed what the product did. You know, we've had other major winning products. Like, one of them was a spy camera that it looked like a phone charger. Mm. And that was cool too, because the video was intriguing and it got people's attention. We've sold, you know, mini projectors. We've sold a few million dollars of those. We've sold a few million dollars of windshield covers. And typically we do that around the holidays because it's a great gift. They're cheap. We were selling for like $14. And if you buy two or more, you get free shipping. Also, they didn't cost us much. And during the holiday season is like when it's cold in the eastern part of the country. Right. So people need windshield covers and they can relate to it going out to their, you know, car in the morning for work and they have to scrape their windshield. So really any product that has a video that can portray how useful the product is. And it's not rocket science. It's simply finding the right product, putting it in front of the right people, and landing them on a page that converts at the right price point. And really, you know, if you can get that formula down, you could scale really big numbers.
So a lot of people have different, like, formulas to finding products. Would you say you focus more on, like, the trendy, cool products, or would you say you focus on products that solve a problem? Or would you say you focus on products that sell, period, after testing? Like, after testing, you just focus on the ones that sell, whether they solve a problem or not. Well, technically every product solves a problem, but you know, a lounge chair doesn't necessarily solve like a massive problem, but you know, what's kind of the criteria, if you will, that you go for? Because you can't test, you know, millions and millions.
Right. There are millions of products to sell. My motto, I guess, really is to model what works. So, you know, with dropshipping, most of these products aren't proprietary. Most of them don't have patents. Most of them don't have trademarks or copyrights on the products themselves. Most people are just selling a lot of the same products from China, and they're products that people want to buy and will buy impulsively. So with that said, if there are millions of products that you could sell, I like to start with the thousands of products that people are already selling. So we use different spy tools. If there's something that shows up in the news feed, really just if somebody already figured it out and they're already spending money on ads, they're most likely making money. So the odds of me making money with that product are much higher than if I went and just looked at random products, or if I did extensive research. So that's where I found most of my biggest products, just seeing what other people are selling. But we do have a system in place where we look through a bunch of different spy tools, and what's really important is that you stay organized so that you can stay consistent. So like every week we'll compile a list of 20 products we want to test. We'll put it in a spreadsheet, and in the spreadsheet there we have a link to the product, to the ad creative, copy, price point, so that when we go and test, it's not a whole bunch of like thought and energy that goes into it. It's more so like, let's do as much as we could with the least amount of resources, see what has a little bit of sticky points, and then we eliminate what doesn't, and then we start to test more aggressively the ones that had sticky points, and if they turn out to be profitable, then we just scale them.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, we're going to talk about this extensively, and I'm pretty sure either you or Scott talk about this extensively on the Everything Ecom Summit. And for those of you who aren't aware, the Everything Ecom Summit is a 8-hour live summit that Jared, myself, and Scott Hilsey are hosting for you guys. And the craziest part is, like I said, it's a dollar. So if you guys want to go ahead and be a part of that, it's a shameless little plug here, just go to everythingecomsummit.com and you can go ahead and register for literally a buck and go ahead and watch us do everything live and go through. Obviously, have time set aside that you can stay there and watch it with us live. So, you know, Jared, you just talked about, you know, finding the products and whatnot. And really quickly, just want to touch on this very, very quickly, are there any tools or resources that you use aside from just perhaps maybe finding a product in your newsfeed, saving it, going to their checkout page, initiating checkout so you can see more ads? Or is there a process or tools that you use that you would recommend?
Yeah, we have a lot of tools and processes. In fact, since we had everything put together, we created our own resource called ehproductfinder.com. And basically, it scrapes a whole bunch of different spy tools, and it's just a database of thousands of winning products. So ehproductfinder.com is just a compilation of a bunch of different spy tools.
Cool. So one more time for the users who are deaf.
Yes, the letter E-H and then productfinder.com.
So E as in elephant, H as in Harry, productfinder.com. So there you go. Okay, cool. Now, process for selling these products. Now, this is a very vague question, obviously. You find a product, right? Then what? Do you create a one product store? Do you put it on a general store? What's your process here once you find a product?
Yeah, so what you got to think about is that we have like limited amounts of things that we can do as human beings. So when you're testing products, you want to put in the least amount of your energy and resources as you could, or else you'll start to get discouraged when things don't work. So for us, we'd like to, when we're testing, we're throwing the product up really fast on our website. It's not perfect. We're not making sure everything's beautiful and has the, you know, everything converting the highest it could be. We're simply putting it up at the price point that it's proven to be sold at based on what we've seen. And then we run 30 ad sets at $3 each with US 18 plus, no targeting. And basically, we just have a very simple formula. After the first day, if there's no view contents or add to carts or purchases, we kill the ad set. After the second day, if there's no add to carts, we kill the ad set. And after the third day, if there's no purchases, we kill the ad set. Then we look and we see if there's five or more purchases, that means that the product has some stickiness, it has some legs. Then we take a little bit more energy and we test different audiences, we test different price points, and we see if we can get it to be profitable. If it has, you know, 10 or more purchases after that test, we know it's a winner for the most part. Right. And it has less than five purchases, we simply move on. We don't get emotionally attached to it. And the big problem I see usually is that
emotional attachment.
Yeah, people spend, you know, their energy on trying something. They come up with a great name for it. They Photoshop the pictures. They write all the copy. They edit their video, and they're like, they put all this effort, like, you know, as much effort as they've ever put into something, into a product that they're testing. And then when it doesn't work, then they get discouraged. And then the pattern that happens is, you know, after a few times when you work really hard and you get discouraged, then you start to associate working hard with discouragement, and then you don't want to work hard anymore. And if you, you know, it's simple with selling products, with drop shipping, you need to expect to test 20 products before you find one winner. Simple. Don't have any expectations that are better than that. So just test 20 as fast as you could with the method I just told you. Guaranteed, you'll find a few that get stickiness, and there's a good chance you'll find at least one that'll make you significant profit.
Right. It's kind of like, you know, the number of odds, right? So you test so many products, one of them has to be a winner. It's almost inevitable to test 20 different products and all of them fail. So that's something that I've kind of realized is a lot of people, they go for that one product, and if it doesn't work, they're like, oh, this is a scam, or oh, this doesn't work. It's no, you try to rely on having a 100% success rate, and that's not how it works. That's literally not how anything works, really. If you kind of even take a look at, let's just say, like a mutual fund, right, that controls billions of dollars occasionally. Some of them control billions of dollars. They don't only focus on investing in one single company, and that's how they make all their money. They spread themselves, you know, far and wide to multiple different avenues so they can make and potentially find that one, you know, that one vehicle that makes them majority of the earnings every single year. And same thing when it comes down to e-com, is a lot of people, like I just said, they focus on that one, you know, that one product, and they get so emotionally attached. And I was just working with somebody recently, and they spent like $3,000, right, on selling this one product, and they've made like 9 sales. And it's a $17 product, meanwhile, and they're picking it up for like $5, but they're like, it got sales, I know it works. Well, clearly, my guy, you just spent $3,000 to get 9 sales. Clearly, something isn't working, right? So it's time to move on here. And again, emotional attachment when it comes to a business like this is something that a lot of people need to kind of get out of their, you know, get out of your own way, if you will. So, Jared, three big takeaways or lessons that you've learned generating over $10 million dropshipping.
Yeah, so I'll start with the emotional attachment aspect of things. The more effort you put into something, the more emotional attachment you're going to have to it. So when getting started, you want to get, you want to put the least amount of energy into testing. Now, if you're a beginner, it's going to take more of your energy to, you know, get ads up and running than someone like myself or someone that's done it, you know, thousands of times, simply because it's unfamiliar. And when you're in an unfamiliar place, like, for example, if you take a dog to somebody's house that it's never been to before, it's going to smell around, it's going to see all this new stuff, it's going to be, you know, there's going to be stimuli all over the place. Then when you take your dog home, it's going to go right to sleep because it uses all of its energy. Mm-hmm. That's like us when we're doing something new. So my first takeaway is definitely don't put a lot of energy into testing. Put a lot of energy into scaling and optimizing. That's where your energy should be. My second takeaway, I would say, is to focus on automating your business, because here's the thing. Like, obviously, automating your business frees up your time. Like, we all know that, right? Like, obviously, the reason we have these businesses is to give us freedom to do what we want, to give us freedom to buy what we want, to travel to where we want. You know, some of us just want to sleep in later. You know, some of us just want to not have to rush to work in the morning. Some of us want to eat healthier food, but it's uncomfortable to spend that money. So, obviously, we get the freedom from the business, but the reason I say automate also is because there's aspects of your business that just, like, in life, you want to focus on positive things, not negative things, right? And if you don't automate your dropshipping store, you're going to find yourself focusing on customer support inquiries, on comments in your posts. And those are almost, you know, 99% of the time they're negative. And if you keep focusing on those negative things, again, association, guys, there's a lot of psychology in business, but you're going to start associating your business with negativity, and then subconsciously you're not going to want to work on the business, and it's hard to keep yourself motivated. So that's takeaway number two. Takeaway number three is you have to force yourself to be consistent, because the way it works is, like, and this is a little bit deeper than just dropshipping, but as we're growing up, as we're, you know, learning, as we're growing in general, we develop our belief system around what the world is. Mm-hmm. And my version of the world is different than your version of the world, is different than anyone listening to this podcast version of the world.
We talked about this morning.
Yeah.
Like, about that one market.
Yeah. So. And you know, basically, if your belief system is that, you know, you're supposed to make $100 per day, that's what you're going to do. Or if your belief system is that you're going to make $250 a day because you just left your job, which is what I was like, you know, 5 years ago, then you're going to make $250 per day. But if you're consistent and if you keep doing the things that you know you're supposed to do based on what I just told you, what you're learning from Dan, what you're learning all over the place, if you're consistent, eventually your results will outperform the beliefs that you have, right? So eventually you'll have a day where you make $500, or eventually you'll have a day where you make $1,000. And the consistency allows you to shift those beliefs. And the only way to grow financially and grow just as a human is to keep expanding on your beliefs and making those higher levels real. So I guess my last takeaway would definitely be focus on being consistent. And to do that, you have to be organized, and you have to, you know, you can't just go with the flow. You have to plan. Otherwise, the flow is going to take you away. If you guys can take that for what it means, but really what I mean is, you know, when you wake up on a Thursday morning and you're tired because you drank the night before, or, you know, you ate a bunch of salty food and you have a headache and you're foggy and you wake up to 18 notifications on your phone and you're stressed, you're not going to be consistent. You're not going to do what you're supposed to do. But if you have it planned already and you have everything organized, it takes a lot less energy to do it. So by being organized, you could be consistent.
Yep. And you said something that I want to touch on. Actually, two things that I want to break apart. Most people don't A, optimize, and B, automate. So give some examples of how people can optimize, you know, let's make it very simple, on a store level. Because, you know, there's so much training out there about optimizing Facebook ads. It's like the old saying, there's 1,000 ways to skin a chicken, right? There's so many ways to do the same exact thing, just in a different way. Yep. However, optimizing a store is something that nobody talks about.
Yep.
And in my opinion, that's even just as, if not more important than being able to optimize your ads. So can you speak a little bit about, you know, how you've optimized your stores and you still do till this day to make the most money possible?
Yeah, for sure. Well, first of all, you shouldn't even think about optimization until you are past your initial testing phase, because optimizing takes a lot of your energy. Mm-hmm. You have to, one thing with optimizing is testing different price points.
Right.
So one thing that we like to do is just create like 3 of the same products on our store at all different price points and run ads to all of them and see what gets us a higher conversion rate and a higher average order value and what's more profitable. So price point's one thing. Page load speed is really important.
That's huge. A lot of people overlook that.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, people, and our attention spans are getting smaller and smaller based on how much media we consume every day.
Well, we have shorter attention spans than goldfish right now, according to a study that I read.
That's a whole rabbit hole conversation that I can speak about for hours, but fact, the sad fact is that people don't have the ability to focus deeply like they used to. So if your site's not loading like quick, your people are going to leave, and that's going to hurt your conversion rate. So testing your price points, load speed time, and then really there's a lot of like best practices. But here's the thing: if you're failing right now, it's probably not because your checkout button's not green. Or because you don't have the right reviews on your page. Like, people take losing products and they look for every way that it could be a winning product when simply it's just not going to be.
It's just a loser.
So don't even think about optimizing until you know your product is profitable and you want to make it more profitable, so that when you scale in your lower ROAS, you can still be you can still hold the margin.
Now, automation. Can you talk about 2 things that anybody can automate that will make their lives so much better and easier as well?
Yeah, the first thing you should automate is your customer support. Now, I don't recommend if you're just getting started to just immediately automate it. I recommend you do your own customer support for like, let's say 50 customers, so that you can answer all their emails with your own tonality, your own, you know, you put your heart and soul into it. And then hire a virtual assistant to go through all of your emails, copy all, because there's a finite amount of questions that your customers will ask you. They'll ask you, what's the refund policy? Where's my order? You know, yada, yada, yada. There's like 10 questions they'll ask. Have your VA go through your email, compile all the questions that were asked and all of your answers, and make them canned responses. So now you never want to focus on your customer support anymore unless it's a really escalated problem. The second thing that you could automate is your actual Facebook ads. A lot of people think you got to do the Facebook ads yourself. I haven't touched my own Facebook ads in over a year. Like, I haven't even touched them. I mean, I've like looked at them, but I haven't done anything.
To be fair, I'm a big proponent in doing it myself. But then again, so I want everybody listening right now to understand that Jared's machine is one of the most well-ran machines ever, meaning that Jared has some of the best people in the right places doing the right things. It is very hard to do that as a beginner, especially when, you know, you're first getting started and whatnot. So when Jared says he has other people doing it, it's because these people are going out there and they're very high level individuals. They are people that Jared pays very handsomely as well. I want to make that very, very well known. So they're very, very qualified to go out there and run ads and whatnot. But when you're first getting started, it's definitely something you should learn, because at the end of the day, is if you want to train people to do something, you better know what you're doing as well.
Oh, 100%. I mean, the only reason that I ever even automated, or you could say automated, but really outsourced my media buying is because I had to. It's because when I was driving from LA to Florida, when I was moving, I was going to be in the car for 5 days and I couldn't get on my ads manager. So I told somebody, you know, if this, then that. And I made a set of rules for them to go in and change. But what I learned from that was much more important than actually just giving me more freedom. What I learned from that was that by freeing up my mind, by automating my business, my mind had more space to think. And as I drove, I thought of ideas to scale. And that drive was a life-changing drive for me, because my store went from doing like 2K a day to doing like 50K a day in 5 days, mm-hmm. just from that freedom that I gave my mind. And from that moment on, I knew the power of outsourcing, and you know, also for me, like, you know, it's tough because in our modern culture, there's so many entrepreneurs out there that people follow on social media that are
just like, you need to work 16 hours a day. Like, you can't sleep 8 hours a day. You know, everyone's got 24 hours. You need to put in the most and you have better odds. And I think that's the most bullshit thing I've ever heard in my life.
I could tell because listen, before you even go ahead and do this, I'm sorry to interrupt, but just seeing Jared on a day-to-day, Jared goes to bed at like 11 p.m., okay? Jared wakes up at around, what, maybe let's say 9 a.m.-ish? No, earlier, no, right?
It like depends 6, on how I want, whenever
well,
I want to.
True, because you meditate in the morning. And, yeah. And
I don't
that's
start my day till 10, though, but
and,
I get up early.
Right, right. And I think that's with a lot of successful people, though, man. I think even for myself, I'll start around 10, 11. Yeah. That's because I use the morning to eat, work out sometimes, meditate. And you know, sometimes when I meditate is I'll just lay in bed for 20 minutes with the sheets over my head, complete darkness as well, like with something over my face and just think for 20 minutes. You know, you have your own routine of meditation. You have your own room for Christ's sake with a sauna right next to it. I mean, you're really big into this stuff and you know, listening right now, you got to understand. And I hope you picked up something that Jared said. He said the most important thing was his drive from where? From California to here?
To Florida, yeah.
What Jared essentially did was Jared reflected and meditated on how he can grow. And his growth process was during his meditation process. And actually, he probably drove down, just zoned out. Like, he knew where he was going, but he was probably zoned out thinking. He was so deep. He was almost in a trance. And I know a lot of people get like that. I still get like that myself. Like, when somebody else is driving, I would, you know, listen to music or have no music, and that's probably the best to do without music so there's no distraction. But I would just zone out and think and have really, really deep thinking. And deep thinking is actually where where money is made.
That's the most important thing that somebody could understand.
It's very high level, though, you have to understand. Is that, you know, a lot of people listening to this, they always think, you know, oh, meditation is for the kooks or whatever it is. But meditation and reflecting, and most importantly, sitting there thinking deeper, and it's hard to learn. You've been doing this for 5 years. I've been doing it for 2, and I still struggle to get into that zone. Like, cause you know, when you're meditating, you get into that zone and ideas start flowing.
Yeah.
It's like being in that zen, like where you're just so you're focused, you're deep in there, and things just come to you. And I saw that in your meditation room. You have a book right next to you. And that's really smart. I'm gonna do the same exact thing. I'm gonna get a little book because I always have ideas, but I hope at the end of my 20 minutes, I remember them in my head.
Yeah.
So so that's something I'm taking away from you. But it's important to do this. And a lot of people listening, like I just mentioned, it might go over their heads, but it's something that I've been doing for almost 2 years now, and I'm still learning how to do it. So do you have any tips, anybody listening? Because again, this is definitely higher level stuff. So
I think it's not so much the act of like you have to meditate. It's like you have to understand why you need your time in the morning to think and put yourself in the right mindset. Because like
it's hard to explain.
So I'll explain it right now. I'll explain it right now. Here's I'll give you one reason, I'll give you two reasons. Reason number one, that you need to give yourself some time in the morning. And I'm talking like at least an hour, if not 2 hours, to yourself, where you're not distracted. It's because you have to put yourself in a good mood. You know, sometimes you wake up and you had a dream and you're tired, and like most of us just grab our phones and then we see a problem and then we go to answer it, and then like there's a footprint on our day already. It's like it started out with this stress, and then you're 2 hours later and you're like, why do I feel stressed? And you're like, I can't figure it out, right? And then what happens? Now you have a meeting with someone that could potentially change your life. But now you go into this meeting and you're like 40% of your best self because right. You're stressed, right? Or because you're not like in a great mood. Now your interaction is not where it should be. And now the path of your life takes a totally different path. And every single interaction that you have has, there's so many different outcomes. There's infinite outcomes that could happen.
Right.
We could be talking, and if I was just like didn't want to talk to you, nothing would happen.
Right.
Or if I'm in that fucking fantastic mood, like the odds of like something happening from it, as long as it aligns with our values, something will happen.
Right.
And that compounds on itself, because then something happens there, and then we meet other people who are doing other things from that, and then we go into those interactions in the best version of ourselves. Something else happens there, and then we catch wind, and we're essentially just creating our own luck
right.
by putting ourselves in that mindset. That's reason number one. Reason number two is we simply don't have
the attention spans that we used to have, because our brains are literally being wired by the world's smartest people who are getting paid huge salaries by some of the biggest corporations in the world, like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, to keep us addicted to media and to keep us entertained. And that's killing our ability to focus.
Right.
And that's a whole different rabbit hole. But if you can use your time, even if you could sit there for 10 minutes with no thoughts, that's practicing your attention span.
Yes.
And if you could sit there for another 10 minutes and think about everything you want, then what you really want in life becomes clear.
Right.
Because a lot of people don't even know what they want. Mm-hmm. Right? They're like, I want money, I want cars, I want girls. It's like, well, why? Why do you want all that? You know, and if you never take the time to think about what you want, do you want peace? Do you want freedom? Do you want to live under the water? Like, what? Everyone wants something different, but you need to take the time to actually realize what you want, and then you can attain it.
Right. Now, it's funny that you say, like, take 10 minutes and just think of nothing. You know, it's really hard for people to just think of nothing. So yeah. That's why when you first start meditating, some instructors will tell you, all you want to think about is your breathing, the in and out. And when I started, I did it in like 2 week increments. Like I did 7 minutes, then I did 9 of just thinking about nothing, until now I'm at like 20 minutes, and then I can use another 10 minutes to, you know, deep think, right? But thinking about nothing is like, it's an actual skill. Like just, and here's the thing, it's not only just thinking about nothing. It's the act of not wanting to pick up your phone and needing it or anything.
Just shooing that exactly. Impulse away. Yep. You're dulling your impulses.
Yep. All right. So we veered off from what we started off with, but I want to get back onto.
Real quick, this stuff is your key to success.
Yes.
The other way around.
It really is. And Jared's right. Is that, you know, this is the stuff that a lot of people don't really, you know, touch on. It's growth as a human being. And it's extremely important. But back to the, you know, technical stuff, the technicalities, the 10 mil that you've made already. What would you do different, if there's anything different?
It's tough. Like, you know, I've been an entrepreneur for about 10 years. Getting off the ground is the hardest part.
Mm-hmm.
And then staying off the ground gets easier as you grow, and then you need to slow down. In the beginning, you need to, like, here's an analogy. When you're first getting started, you're throwing a bunch of shit against the wall.
Right.
And like a little bit of it, maybe like a little nugget sticks. But like, as you get better, as you get smarter, as your network gets stronger, as the people around you are more capable, now when you're throwing shit at the wall, much more of it's sticking.
Right.
So you can choose what you want to do, as opposed to just do whatever you need to do to get off the ground. I would say if I could do something different, it's really hard. I mean, you almost have to go through all the obstacles and learn the lessons. I've moved a little bit slower. I moved very fast.
Yeah, you still do.
I put myself in very, very stressful situations when I was younger. You know, I got sued for $250,000 when I was 23 and had $0 to my name for a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, granted, I mean, I appreciate that part of my life, but it definitely grew. It taught me a lot. Like, I learned a lot about the legal system and about myself, and I've got stronger from it. But
now, when I walk into your office, you have back-to-back calls with lawyers.
So, well, keep ourselves protected now.
Oh, things have changed, haven't they?
Yeah. I would just say, you know, be careful, but like, don't be too careful. A lot of people are like, I don't want to start my business until I have my LLC set up, and it's like, yeah, I started my dropshipping business with like a personal debit card and like no entity. Right. And you can like figure that stuff out.
Of course.
Start making money first.
You learn as you go.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point of entrepreneurship, is that's the only way to learn, is learn as you go. There's no roadmap to this.
Everyone's map is different.
Everybody's map is different. So, you know, aside from the Everything Ecom Summit that we're doing, and again, like I said before, shameless plug, if you want to go ahead and join myself, Jared, and Scott Hills on an 8-hour live streamed event, then for a dollar at that, then go ahead and just go to everythingecomsummit.com and register. But aside from that and them being able to connect with all of us and including you there, is there any other place that they can connect with you, follow you, where you drop more information? Or even if, you know, I know we talked about this before, Jared's not really at this stage of his career Jared focuses on his stores and his actual business, not on his, you know, personal brand and whatnot. But is there anywhere that they can follow you if you ever, you know, post anything or want to inform them?
For sure. Listen, I go through waves. Right now I'm at a point where I'm not super active on social media, but I will be again probably in the next few months. You can follow me at Jared Getz, and that's probably the best way on Instagram. Follow me.
Cool. Sweet. Anyway, Jared, thanks so much for being on here. It's been a pleasure.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
See you, man.